Okay, so this afternoon we will try to finish up the character of Isaac, especially the relationships that he had while he was on this earth. We'll continue this afternoon with talking about Isaac with his mother, Sarah. Isaac with his mother, Sarah. We already mentioned yesterday that when Isaac was born, it brought the family a lot of laughter, a lot of happiness. So Isaac was a very beloved child. And Sarah herself even said, God has brought me laughter. Right? God has brought me laughter. Yeah, God has made me laugh. Okay. So that's one aspect of her relationship with Isaac that we see. There's not too much else in the Bible about their relationship specifically, except there's a clue that we have in Genesis chapter 24. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. Ling Hao. Verse 67, right? Okay, so this is a clue about Isaac and his mother's relationship. When you look at Genesis chapter 23, verse 1, it tells us that Sarah lived 127 years. And so that means that Isaac was 37 years old when his mother passed away. Okay, and when did Isaac get married? At the age of 40. This is based on Genesis chapter 25, chapter 25, verse 20. Okay, so 3 years had passed between his mother's death and marrying Rebecca. Okay, so you can see that for 3 years, his mother's death seemed to have a big influence on him. And, you know, it typically would have, right? I think all of us, we still have our parents. Anybody lose their parents yet? Okay. Thank God, right? Thank God. Some people may lose their parents when they're quite young. Thank God we haven't gone through that. I'm also thankful I still have my mom. But one day, we know that everyone's going to pass away. Right? So Isaac seemed to be very close to Sarah, his mom. And then for 3 years, it seemed like there was something missing, okay, or something that still grieved him. And so based on Genesis 24, verse 67, finally when he married, then he was comforted. He was comforted. Like, now there was someone who can give him love, right? In a different way, though. But this kind of can completely replace the mother's love and also comfort him. So this is something that you can jot down when you, you know, for that section of Isaac and his relationship with his mother, Sarah. Okay. Is there anything else you guys remember about Isaac and his wife, Isaac and his mother, Sarah? Anything else? Okay, that's all I have too, okay? So let's move on. Let's go to Isaac and his relationship with his half-brother, Ishmael. Was his relationship with his brother good? Paul, what do you think? Did he have a good relationship with Ishmael? Or Stephen, okay? Okay. They eventually buried their father together in Genesis chapter 25, verse 9. Okay? But what about when they're younger? Mammon. Yeah, he kind of bullied him. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21, verse 9. Sheni. Scoffing, right? Verse 10. Okay, this is a very great feast when Isaac was weaned. Weaned meaning he stopped drinking his mother's milk. Okay, this back in ancient days could have been a couple years, several years. Okay. Yeah. I think back in those days, some people continue drinking their mother's milk until, I don't know. What do you guys think? How old? I remember one time I saw some movie. I think it was like The Last Emperor of China. And he was still also drinking his mother's milk or from a nurse or something until he was like a young boy too. It could be pretty old. Anyway, there's a great feast when Isaac was weaned. And what happened on this day? I don't know. Like, Ishmael was scoffing, mocking him. I don't know how he was mocking him, but maybe like, oh, you're a big boy now, huh? Or, I don't know. Look at this big boy. So anyway, the way that he was treating Isaac was not pleasing to Sarah's eyes. So it seemed like, Isaac, being the younger one, also is more susceptible and more vulnerable to an older sibling's attacks or remarks. So I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it really clearly. If there's a verse that you see something very clear, let me know. But I think based on that, it just seemed like Ishmael looked down on Isaac. They probably really didn't get along that well. There was some kind of, maybe there's a type of rivalry too. Maybe there was, maybe they're even got into some fights. We don't know. Okay. But like Stephen mentioned, by the time when they were older, Abraham died at what age? 175. So when Isaac was how old? 75, and Ishmael was, Ishmael was 13 or 14 years older than him. So when Ishmael was 88, 89, they were okay. Right, they're okay, and they buried their father together. Genesis 25, verse 9, which says, "And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the fields of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite." Okay, so at the very end, they could do this together to honor their father. And to me, it seemed like they were at least on friendly terms. Let's say you do get taken advantage of or like bullied by your brothers or sister, older one. What should you do? What should you do? Anybody have any experience? I have a little bit of experience. Yeah, I have a little bit of experience. I have an older brother. I have a younger brother too. And I got along better with my younger brother. growing up than my older brother. My older brother was not so nice at times, or many times, okay? And I think, like, it's, for me, one of the concepts that I had from Bible reading when I grew up was that verse. I think I mentioned it yesterday, too. I just kept on thinking of the verse, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God will repay." So sometimes, like, maybe, like, you're little, you can't really do anything to fight back, or if you fight back, you get hurt even more or something. I think just in your heart, you sometimes have to learn to endure. And actually, it'll build character. I feel like me and Nathaniel, growing up, were probably more mature than my brother Daniel, because we went through some hardships, right? So, like, I think right now, I still feel like my older brother now, he's quite mature though, right? Yeah, he's grown up a lot, especially after he got married. But before he was married, I would say I was the mature one. Right? Why? Because, I don't know, suffering builds character. Suffering, like the Bible says, suffering builds perseverance. Okay, right? And then perseverance, patience or something. And then patience, where is this? James, let's turn to James. Oh, or is it 1 Peter? You guys know what verse I'm talking about? 1 Peter what? Oh, okay, yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. 1 Peter 1, 5, right? Wait, I think there was another one. Anyway, I think you know which verse I'm talking about, right? How come I can't find it? Oh, 2 Peter? Okay, 2 Peter 1. There we go. Oh, well, not exactly either. There's another verse. Romans 5:3. Yes. Okay. I think this is what I was thinking about. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance what? Character. Okay. For character. Romans 5:3-4. So generally speaking, when you look at people, some people who might be more mature than others, probably the ones who are more mature had to go through some suffering. Okay, maybe like they lost a parent type of suffering, and then they had to spend a lot of time raising their own brothers, you know, or somebody, like a child, went through some sickness, some kind of serious sickness, and then that also built character, and then like just they're different because they went through certain sufferings. Okay. So maybe you might have some suffering due to your brothers or sisters, but it will, if on one hand, like just endure. If you really have to, yeah, tell your parents. And then overall though, you know, God has put us in a family and everything will work towards good. And it will build you up, okay, build your character. So for me, I think Isaac, even though it seemed like he was a bit mistreated when he was younger, it was good for him. Okay, anything else you guys see between Isaac and Ishmael? Their relationship? By the way, like, you do know that suffering builds character, but that doesn't mean that you intentionally give suffering to your other siblings. Right? You don't go, it's going to build character. Boom, right? No. This is talking about on the receiving end. Okay, let's go to Isaac and his wife, Rebecca. Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, the relationship. We talked a lot about marriage already, so we'll just highlight some of the, maybe some points that weren't mentioned before. The Bible is very clear in Genesis chapter 24, verse 67, the verse we read earlier today already in this class. It says, and he loved her, right? He loved Rebecca. He never met her before that day, but upon meeting her, he loved her. Okay, which tells us that even if, like, in the future you are arranged to be married, right? Or maybe you guys marry very quickly or whatever, it's still very possible to develop love. Develop love after marrying, like you didn't get to know each other that well. Okay? In fact, sometimes it is a very pure type of love because, you know, you already have, by arrangement, you're together, and you just accept one another because that's what your parents have arranged for you, or that's what somebody arranged for you, and then you learn to see and appreciate the other for whatever virtues they might have. Okay, and so Isaac immediately just loved her, and you can see that this love lasted for a lifetime. Among the patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and a lot of Old Testament characters, Isaac is like one of the only ones that was monogamous. You know what I mean? He didn't marry. He didn't have a second wife or a third wife, fourth wife, whatever, right? Abraham had Sarah, and then also, you know, had Hagar and then Keturah. Jacob had four, right? Leah, Rachel, Bildad, and I forgot the fourth. What's the fourth lady's name? Bildad and was it Bildad? No, it wasn't Bildad. Bildad, I'm thinking about Job. Okay. You guys can look that up. Don't remember right now. But anyway, Jacob had four. David had many wives. A lot of the kings had many wives. But Isaac, he just had one wife. And actually, this is what God had intended in the beginning, in the first place. One man, one woman. Now, some people may ask, well, why did God allow some of these Old Testament characters to have multiple wives? What I would say is that, you know how there's a passage in Matthew, I think chapter 12, where the Pharisees were asking Jesus Christ, or maybe it's a different chapter. No, it's Matthew chapter 19. Yeah, Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees are asking Jesus Christ about why did God allow Moses to grant certificates of divorces? And then Jesus Christ said, it's because of the hardness of their heart. So I would also apply like that same type of principle to why God allowed those Old Testament people to have multiple wives. It was because of the hardness of their heart. God allowed it to happen, but that's not actually what God was pleased with. Okay. But you can see that Jesus Christ in that same conversation then reestablishes and redefines what marriage ought to be, which is that from the beginning, this was not so. It's one man and one woman. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. So he basically reestablishes God's original intention, which is a monogamous relationship. Because God himself and the gospel message itself is a very monogamous message, right? God only has one bride, one church, one true church, not multiple churches, right? So Isaac was like this. He only had one wife. The Old Testament people who did have multiple wives, their life was a lot more hectic, I would say, too, anyway. Right? How many of those people who had multiple wives really had a good marriage life? You can see there's so many wife rivalries, right? And then chaos in the family because of multiple wives. So today, in the church too, we in the New Testament, because of what Jesus Christ has said too, there's no way we allow polygamous marriages. Okay, it's not what God has established. Right? So Isaac loved Rebekah, and this love lasted for a lifetime. In fact, other people can even tell. Right? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Sabrina. So this is talking about one time when there was famine, and Isaac told him, God told Isaac, don't go down to Egypt, right? Because Isaac seemed to be going towards that direction. He went to the land of the Philistines in Gerar. And when he was in Gerar, he met this Philistine king called Abimelech. Abimelech, one day, so Isaac was afraid for his life, and he was telling the people there, oh, Rebekah is my sister. Okay. So he was afraid for his own life. But this could not be hidden, right? Because one day Abimelech sees that Isaac is showing endearment to Rebekah. So like, he's talking about some type of physical touch, like caressing her or something, right? Very obvious that they're not just brother and sister, but something more. So even others could tell. Okay, but this also reveals one thing, one weakness in their relationship, which was, he did lie about their true relationship for self-protection. Okay. They did love each other, but as parents, Isaac and Rebekah, one thing that they had kind of a flaw in was that Isaac and Rebekah favored one child each. So this kind of brings us to Isaac's relationship with his kids. They favored children. Let's turn to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 28. Mark. Okay, so like one chose one of the twins, and this added to their sibling rivalry, and it's not really that good of an example in terms of parenting. But in general, Isaac and Rebekah's life together as husband and wife is a decent example, very decent example that we can learn from. Because one other thing that we should mention is Isaac prayed for his wife. Let's turn to same chapter, Genesis 25, verse 21. Genesis 25, verse 21. Let's read 21, Rochelle. Okay, amen. Isaac prayed for his wife because why? She was barren. Being barren was very shameful in that society, and especially because Isaac also knew of God's promise that his descendants would become very prosperous, God will use his descendants to bless all people, all nations. So Isaac then prayed for his wife because she was barren. How long did he pray for her? Quite a long time. Okay, why? How do we know that? In verse 20, we see that Isaac was 40 years old when he was married. Okay, how old was Isaac when he became a father? Paul. Huh? How old was he? Shannon. 60, right? Which verse? Verse 26. Okay, verse 26 says, the last sentence says, Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Okay. So the Bible doesn't really tell us exactly when Isaac found out that his wife was barren, but you can usually tell within the first few years. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like back then, it's not like they had contraception. Okay, so like after you get married, very natural that you would have children. Usually, you'll be pregnant within, well, I don't know, probably the first year, right? What's the statistic? I think the statistic is there's an 85% chance of being pregnant in your first year if you don't use contraception, something like that, right? So if you keep multiplying that, if the first year, no, second year, you have an even higher chance, right? Third year. So I would say like by year five, if you aren't pregnant yet, you can tell, definitely tell something's like not working. Do you understand? Okay. So how long did Isaac pray for Rebecca? To me, I think it's a very conservative estimate. He prayed for Rebecca for at least 15 years. How many of you guys are 15 years old? Longer than you've been alive. You understand? Longer than you've been. So, like, I'm sure, like, by year five, they've been together, no children yet. So then maybe that's when Isaac realized, wow, my wife is barren. Okay? Or let's say maybe you think 5 years is still too short to really, really tell. Okay, let's just say 10 years. Okay, 10 years without a child. He prayed for his wife then for 10 years then. Older than your younger brother, right? Younger sister. Okay. So this is talking about how much Isaac loved Rebecca and also how Isaac was so faithful and kept the faith in God, right? Because God had told him that it's through him that God's promises would be revealed, right? That all nations would be blessed because of him. So Isaac just kept praying and kept praying. And to me, I think probably like 15 years. So it teaches us that when we pray, we shouldn't give up. Okay, and then God's timing is often very different from our timing. Okay, God transcends this time. So for him, 15 years is like nothing. But for us who are going through that time, of course, it's going to feel very long. Okay, 15 years ago in 2001, wow, that's when September 11 happened. September 11 happened. You know that Google is only what? 17 years old. I think. Should we Google this? Okay, Google. How old is Google?
Google was founded in 1998.
Okay, 1998. All right, so Google is only 18 years old. Right, so imagine a time before Google. That's how long Isaac prayed for Rebekah. Okay, approximately, right? Which other company was non-existent that's really popular now? Apple? Oh, Apple was founded way early. Yeah. Facebook feels like really old, right? Founded in 2004. It's 12 years ago. Okay, Google. How old is Facebook? Oh, I didn't read it, but it says February 4th, 2004. Right?
Facebook, Inc. was founded in 2004.
Okay. Delay. Okay, so in internet years, 15 years is, wow, is like forever. The whole lifetime, is it not? But that's how persistent Isaac was for praying for his wife. Right? So it's teaching us to be patient, really, and wait for God's timing. Don't rush God. And don't force God. But God has everything in his perfect timing. Okay? Just like there's a psalm. I really like this statement. Psalm 31, verse 15. Psalm 31, verse 15. First line says, my times are in your hand. I think that's a very beautiful line, right? It's talking about a person's surrender to God's will. My times are in your hand. Okay. This is what David said. And so I think the same thing can be said for us and our prayer life and our relationship with God. You know, just submit ourselves to God and trust our life into God's hands. Tell God, my times are in your hand. I trust you. Okay? So maybe in the future, you're worrying about when you're going to get a job, when you get married, when you're going to have kids or something. I don't know. Whatever you might worry about. But just in the end, entrust that worry into God's hands. Okay? So Isaac prayed for his wife. We should also pray for our spouse. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Anybody else? Any comments on Isaac and Rebecca's relationship? All right, let's go on. Isaac now and his relationship with his sons. We already talked a little bit about how Isaac favored Esau, mostly because Esau was a hunter. It's possible that, you know, Jacob, he was kind of like a homebody. You know what I mean? He was a mama's boy. Jacob. Jacob was like, he was kind of like a nerd, right? Sticking like close to home, he cooks, right? Which is fine, right? But Esau, he's like a manly man, right? He's like a hunter. He gets his hands dirty, okay? And so maybe like this difference in personality, you know, Isaac liked Esau more. Okay? But, you know, Every child is an individual. So in the future, when you have children, try not to show favoritism. Okay, try not to show favoritism. Okay. Esau eventually buried his father, Isaac, along with Jacob. Let's turn to Genesis 35. Verse 29. Genesis 35, verse 29. Benny.
So Isaac grieved his master died and was gathered to his people, came forth in full day and his son.
sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Okay. So this is maybe moving on into Jacob's life, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But eventually, Jacob and Esau had reconciled. And in the end, they can also do this together for their father. Okay. So by that time, Isaac, who had Esau and Jacob at age 60, Esau and Jacob were 120. Esau eventually moved away from the land of Canaan, though, to the land of Edom. Edom, I think, means red. So it's also where Esau moved to. Okay. So you can see eventually what God prophesied concerning Esau came true. Right? It was the younger Jacob that eventually inherited the land of Canaan. Esau, the older, he still had quite a lineage himself, but it wasn't in that spiritual blessing, that spiritual heritage that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Right? So Isaac's blessing to Esau in Genesis chapter 28. I'm sorry, 27. Right, 27. It basically fulfilled God's prophecy. I think this is one of your Q&A questions. Your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth. So, like, he did have some earthly success. But then verse 40, by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Okay. So he did not get the blessing of a firstborn, but received this more inferior blessing. Okay. One thing that Esau did that really displeased Isaac and also Rebekah was what? You guys know? Mammon. Yeah, he married. What happened? There's someone. Let's turn to Genesis 26:35. He married Canaanite woman, right? Hittite woman. Let's turn to Genesis 26, verse 34. It says, when Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. What happened? Verse 35. And they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So, this is talking about marriage again, right? Again, consistent with the common teaching in the Bible of we should marry in the Lord. So if in the future you have kids, one thing that will probably also be a grief to your mind is if your children wind up marrying somebody, a Gentile. Okay, especially if you are in the Lord, you have the right concepts, the right values. That's definitely going to be a grief of mind. Like just recently, I was talking to a mother. This mother has two daughters. One is like 25. The other is like 22. Anyway, the older one, 25, has been seeing a guy she met in college, and he's not a church member, right? And then basically, long story short, she was just telling me, please pray for my daughter, right? She's starting to get worried, because that guy seems to be pretty serious and wants to marry her daughter. So they don't know what to do. They're trying to bring him to church, but still it's like a worry because he grew up with his own worldly concepts and values. Okay. So I think you can kind of put yourself in a parent's shoes. Like, what would happen if your son or daughter did that? Like, how would you feel? And when you imagine yourself in that situation, then now think about you and your parents. Okay? If your parents are in the Lord, they have the right concepts, they're spiritual, I think they also would be encouraging you, hey, you must marry in the Lord. What will happen? How would they feel? How would they react if you wound up marrying somebody on the outside? Okay, that's something that we need to think about. It will bring grief to their mind. If you read another verse, this is applying to Rebecca, but I would say probably Isaac was also influenced. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. Vivian.
46. And Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, I know that these are the daughters of Heth. What am I doing in my life?
Okay. Here, I mean, it's not really clear if Rebecca was being completely truthful or not, because this was part of Rebecca's plan to have Isaac give Jacob the okay to go to Haran. Do you understand? Okay, so maybe Rebecca is not completely truthful here, but if we just take the words on face value, I mean, it must have been at least plausible to Isaac, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, Isaac must have at least think that it was possible. Right, so I'm sure Rebecca and Isaac could tell, like, Esau and his wives, these daughter-in-laws, they were a lot of trouble, right? I'm sure maybe they fought a lot with Rebecca, maybe fought a lot with Isaac. They have different values. They have different gods, probably. Different way to raise their children. So it's a huge grief of mind. Rebecca's even saying, I'm weary of my life, meaning like, I often feel like I want to kill myself. Okay? Like, that's why she says, what good is my life to me if Jacob winds up marrying somebody like this too? Okay? So this is something you need to consider. Okay? Especially like for me now also, if my daughter winds up marrying somebody outside of the church, I would be really, really saddened. Right, really, really sad. I'm going to, of course, do my best to instill the right values in her and pray for her. I already told the sisters yesterday during pastor's time, I've been praying for my daughter's marriage even before she was born. Right, that hopefully God has prepared a brother already. Right, probably the brother will be older than her, right? So maybe he's already prepared. And then, right, and one day they can, yeah, form a Christian family. Okay. We're technically over time, but let's just finish up then, right? We finished Isaac and his relationship with Esau. Let's now just very quickly talk about Isaac and his relationship with his other son, Jacob. Okay, so Jacob was less favored by Isaac. So again, the favoritism. But at the very least, he did charge Jacob that he should not take a wife from Canaanite women. Okay, so they kind of learned their lessons as parents. Like, when you do this, it's going to bring a great headache, a great stress to the family. So Isaac gave Jacob the blessing to go and go back to their hometown, their ancestors' home in Paddan Aram, which is like around the Haran area, to go and take a wife. Okay, so again, the concept of marrying in the Lord. And this is what Isaac instilled upon Jacob. In terms of Isaac and his relationship with his daughters-in-law, it doesn't really seem any, I don't see any verses with a direct connection. But, yeah, so we don't see whether it was good or bad. But it seemed like it was at least okay, right? It doesn't have a verse somewhere that says, and the wives of Jacob was a grief of mine to Isaac. I think they got along better, right, than the daughters-in-law on Esau's side. Okay, we are over time. Let's conclude with a silent prayer.